Thank you so much, and welcome to Community Comment, everybody. My name is Terry Bell, and our guest today on Community Comment is Beaver Dam Mayor Bobby Mark. There's the video. We're going to talk about all kinds of things affecting us here in the city of Beaver Dam. If you have any questions or comments, we invite you to join the program. You can call us or text us at 920-887-9595, or you can call the WBEV studio line at 885-4446. Good morning.
Good morning, Terry.
Good to have you with us. Survived all the rain we got on Sunday.
Yeah, and last night there was some pretty big thunderclaps, too.
There sure were, yeah. You know, just anecdotally, I saw some pictures on social media with a lot of street flooding. I'm taking it that everything worked its way through the system successfully.
As far as I know, I have not been made aware of any issues.
So. And everything's probably okay.
Yeah.
All right. Speaking of water, one of the things that the Common Council is taking up is buying some land for the water, for a new water treatment plant or an additional water treatment plant?
Correct. I want to back up just a little bit.
Yes.
Something that I think is really interesting is that while the Beaver Dam Water Utility, I think most people know it's an agency of the city of Beaver Dam, but it operates completely independently from the city's tax dollars.
Oh.
Its funding comes directly from its users. So when you pay your water bill every quarter, all of that money, that is what runs our clean water system. We also have a separate wastewater utility, and that is independently funded with the fees that it collects. So both of those systems are self-sustaining. They don't require additional tax dollars. And the other thing I think is really interesting is Beaver Dam initially, like many communities, had a private water company. Starting back in 1888, our first water company was called the Beaver Dam Water Works. And it was a private entity. The city hired them to build and run our city water system. And that lasted for a little over 20 years. And then just after the turn of the last century in 1911, the city kept getting all these complaints from residents about lack of pressure and about outrageous bills for their water. And so in 1913, Beaver Dam had a special election and asked the citizens if they wanted to have the city take over the water system. And the citizens voted yes. And so since 1913, it has been an independent city-run enterprise. So I thought that was really interesting. Beaver Dam's water utility, like all water utilities, is regulated by the state of Wisconsin, and any kind of rates have to be reviewed and approved by the Public Service Commission. So we fall under the same rules as any other entity. Our system, we have four freshwater wells that feed into our water treatment system. Those are located in the central and southern portion of the city. They draw wells between 500 and 600 feet deep, and they all feed into our water treatment plant, which is on North Center Street. And that's where it's treated for, it's softened and it, you know, removes any minerals and things that make the water taste funny, and then it's distributed out to the entire city. Our current water treatment plant was built in the 1950s. Mm. It was updated in the 70s and again in the late 90s as new technology became available. We did a study in 2023 evaluating our current water treatment plant, and basically what the study showed us is that the current system that we use to treat our city water, the technology is becoming outdated, and therefore it's becoming less and less cost effective over time. One of the main components that we use to treat our water is lime. And as fewer and fewer communities are moving away from lime, lots of communities don't use lime anymore. They are using reverse osmosis technology, a newer technology that doesn't involve lime. The price of lime continues to go up. So we spend hundreds of thousands of dollars every year just to buy lime, and then we also have to pay to dispose of the lime. And so that's one of the reasons, that and other technological reasons, it was decided that we need to start thinking about replacing our current water treatment facility.
So this is not to dig a new well. This is to locate a new water treatment facility.
Exactly. Our wells are in good shape. They will stay the same. Same with our wastewater utility. Our sewage treatment plant was built in, I believe, 1985. And that's, that's fine. No discussion there. It's just on the facility to treat our fresh water before we send it out to our customers.
So I take it all, I guess you raised the point earlier that it's not necessarily a city taxpayer paid function. It's paid for by water users. So does the city council have to act to approve the future water treatment plant, or is that something that the water utility can just go ahead and decide to do?
Well, the water utility is a city department.
Okay.
So any action they take has to be approved by the city council.
Okay.
So, and the water utility has looking around for an appropriate site for some time now, because again, they've been thinking about this since 2023, that we need to eventually start moving forward with this. And so now they have negotiated a property agreement with a land seller. That land is located on Green Valley Road, behind Centro. It's right at where the road curves. Carroll Street curves into Green Valley Road, and just past the curve behind Centro is a little over 4 acre site that is on tonight's agenda for the council has to approve the purchase of that property.
Very good. Our guest today is Beaver Dam Mayor Bobby Mark. We need to take a quick break, but we'll be right back. You're listening to Community Comment on 95.3 WBEV, powered by Daily Dodge.
Good Karma Brands is proud to be an equal opportunity employer, providing equal employment, development, and advancement opportunities to all teammates and applicants. To learn more about careers with us, please send an email to talentacquisition@goodkarmabrands.com. That's talentacquisition@goodkarmabrands.com.
The Columbus Family Dental Mystery Player is back for the 2026 baseball season. Listen to Milwaukee Baseball every Sunday on 95.3 WBEV, and we'll announce who the mystery player of the game is. Then the following business day at 8:15 during the WBEV Morning Show, if you're the correct caller who can identify the mystery player, you'll win a pair of tickets to see a game in Milwaukee. It's the Columbus Family Dental Mystery Baseball Player of the Game, all season long on 95.3 WBEV.
Because then we'd have to spend.
Energy does more than power homes and businesses. It powers progress. Whether it's supporting new businesses coming to town or helping existing ones expand, our efforts create jobs and improve the places we all call home. At Alliant Energy, we're not just meeting today's energy needs. We're building a stronger energy future for all. It's reliable, it's resilient, and it's built for Wisconsin's future. Visit AlliantEnergy.com/communitygrowth to learn more.
Ever feel like your house is trying to tell you something? Those foggy windows, the ones that won't quite open, the ones that make your house look a little tired? Good news, Hometown Glass and Improvement can help with beautiful, energy-efficient Lindsay windows that instantly refresh your home inside and out. Cleaner views, smoother operation, and a brand new look you'll notice every day. Call Hometown Glass and Improvement today for your free estimate. Hometown Glass and Improvement, locally owned, community trusted.
Join us Thursday morning at 11:10 a.m. for Let's Talk with Beaver Dam Unified School District Superintendent Mark DeStefano on Daily Dodge TV and 95.3 WBEV. This month, Superintendent DeStefano will highlight student and staff celebrations, recognize the class of 2026 and their future plans, and share important summer reminders with families. It's Let's Talk with Beaver Dam Unified School District Superintendent Mark DeStefano Thursday at 11:10 a.m. on Daily Dodge TV and 95.3 WBEV.
Providing this community beautiful floors and so much more, the team at Professional Floor Covering can't wait to connect with our friends through today's community comment on 95.3 WBEV, powered by Daily Dodge.
And Randy and his team are here to help you design the perfect space. Over 1,000 samples of carpet, LVP, hardwood, tile, area rugs, and window furnishings is so much more than floors. wide selection of kitchen and bathroom countertops, cabinets, tile, shower inserts, and more. It's all happening at Professional Floor Covering, 713 Park Avenue in Beaver Dam. Now, back to Terry Bell and Community Comment on WBEB.
Thank you very much, Jeff, and welcome back, everyone. Our guest today on Community Comment is Beaver Dam Mayor Bobby Mark. If you have any questions or comments for the mayor, you can join our program by calling or texting 920-887-9595, or you can call the WBEV studio line at 885-4446. Let's talk about a couple of matters that are coming up at tonight's Common Council meeting. One is the annual TID updates, and TIDs have been a big topic of conversation in the last year or so. So this is probably fortunate that we're talking about them this evening.
Yes, Beaver Dam has had 10 TIDs in its history, and not all of those are, many of those are no longer active, but we have, what, 6 active TIDs, and each of those TIDs has its own plan, has its own funding, has its own things that they spend money on, and each of them has their own targeted purpose. And so it's just good for council members to get an update on how those TIDs are doing, because money comes into the TIDs, money, you know, is spent in the TIDs, just to see how those TIDs are doing. Because when we open up TIDs, we don't have crystal balls. We don't know how the development is going to go years down the line. And TIDs can be open for up to 26, sometimes a little longer, 26 years. So it's just good to keep on top of them to decide when it's the best time to close them, or whether we want to, sometimes we can extend them. So this is just sort of a annual, you know, regular updating process that we hope to do every year. So if people are interested in, well, there will be some general discussion of TIDs in general. Ellerts, who is our, we contract for accounting services, they're going to do a presentation. If people are interested, the PowerPoint that they're going to present tonight is online on our city website with our packet for the meeting. And they give some basic background information about explaining how TIDs operate, but then they're going to look at each of our TIDs specifically and how they're doing, and, you know, revenue and things like that.
I've often heard TIDs described as tax breaks or tax incentives for specific development operations. Am I understanding that correctly?
Correct. Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Right.
TIDs do not increase taxes. It just takes tax money that businesses would normally pay anyway, and it just segregates them into a special account to be used to support that district, to encourage more economic development. And the money can only be used in that specific district. So it can't be used like all over the city. It's very targeted. There are lots of rules as far as what the money can be spent for. And it has to be related to that specific TID.
I've often heard anecdotally that, you know, this development wouldn't come here, that development wouldn't come here if not for TIDs. Would that be an accurate way of describing how TIDs are used when a community is looking to attract jobs?
Yeah, that's probably the most common way TIDs are used. TIDs have been around since, I believe, 1975, and they've been a very successful program for communities all across the state. And one of the primary purposes is to have incentive money to attract businesses to come. Sometimes the TID money is used for direct incentives, like a payment, but more often it's used for infrastructure, because in order to attract, say, a new factory, the city needs to have a street, and they need to have sewer, and they need to have streetlights, and all the things in place before that business wants to come. Or sometimes they build it as the business is also being built. That's very often. Some communities build it ahead of time, but that's expensive. Most communities, Beaver Dam, we tend to wait until we actually have a business that's interested, and then we'll go about building the infrastructure to support that area around the business.
And since other communities use them too, part of the competitive nature of attracting new development, too, from what I understand.
Yeah, they're very common. They're really the only economic development tool that cities have. that, you know, it's the one way we can, because economic development is expensive. You need money. Some TIDs are for to attract businesses. Other TIDs are for blight elimination. We use that downtown when we had the floods back in 2008, and there were buildings that needed to be torn down and infrastructure that needed to be repaired, and that was really expensive. So we had a blight elimination TID in the downtown area, and the state just this summer created a new kind of TID for housing. And so we're looking at perhaps developing a housing TID. The rules that the state put into place, they're aimed at building what's called workforce development housing, which is smaller lots, smaller homes, more affordable. So it helps. The problem with building residential housing is it's very expensive for contractors to build an entire development, and so they usually need some help. They call it the equity gap. They need some help to get started building. And so the residential TIDs are designed to help close that equity gap and get new developments, housing developments into communities.
Another presentation tonight will concern fees, a very specific kind of fee that is common in other cities, but is something that's maybe just being discussed as an idea here in Beaver Dam.
Correct. I've been here under three different city administrators, and all three city administrators have asked, oh, so what kind of impact fees do you charge here in Beaver Dam? And I'm like, Impact fees. What's an impact fee? That is not something that traditionally Beaver Dam has explored. And so we are having a presentation this evening by Vanderwall and Associates, who, again, they do contract work for us. They're coming to talk about what impact fees are and how they work, just kind of to give council the basic information. We're not to the point where we're actually going to start creating impact fees, but it gives us the background knowledge so then we can look at whether or not we want to start creating them. Basically, impact fees are fees that developers are charged to help offset the cost that development brings. So, for example, we don't need to do this, but let's just say we had to build a second water treatment plant because we were having a whole bunch of new houses added to Beaver Dam. What an impact fee would do is it would charge the cost of that new water plant, not the whole thing, just a proportion based on the size of the development to make it fair. You don't want to overcharge anyone, but if you're adding, 50 new houses, those houses are all going to need fresh water, and that may require the city to build a new water treatment plant. So it's the idea of we charge these fees, and then the city keeps those fees to help offset the cost of upgrading and maintaining its infrastructure that these new developments put pressure on.
People hear the word fees and they recoil a little bit, but it does not sound like this kind of fee, this impact fee, is something that residents would have to pay.
No, they're usually aimed at developers, businesses coming into the community.
Okay, very good. All right. So those presentations are at tonight's Common Council meeting.
Correct. So if people are interested in either of those topics, they can log on and listen, or they can come and see in person.
Very good. We need to take a quick break for the news, but we'll be right back. We're talking to Beaver Dam Mayor Bobby Mark on this edition of Community Comment on 95.3 WBEV, powered by Daily Dodge.
Hey, it's Stacy with Slumberland, Beaver Dam and Watertown. No one sells Sealy for less than us during our Memorial Day Save Big Sale. Shop local and get this wintergreen Sealy mattress for as little as $299 with an amazing sleep guarantee. Or check out our Sealy Safa Park firm mattress for as little as $499. Or if you need some adjustment in your life, if you need some pain relief and you need to sleep really, really well, take advantage of our Sealy Posturepedic Hagerstown mattress for as little as $999 in the queen size, and you get a free adjustable power base. Save up to $900 on select adjustable mattress sets and no interest for up to 72 months on select Tempur-Pedic, Sealy, and Stearns & Foster's mattresses. Save up to $400 on Sealy Posturepedic, save up to $500 on Tempur-Pedic, and save up to $900 on Stearns & Foster's on select adjustable mattress sets. Shop local with us and save big during our Memorial Day sale going strong at Slumberland Furniture, Beaver Dam, and Watertown.
Energy does more than power homes and businesses. It powers progress. Whether it's supporting new businesses coming to town or helping existing ones expand, our efforts create jobs and improve the places we all call home. At Alliant Energy, we're not just meeting today's energy needs. We're building a stronger energy future for all. It's reliable, it's resilient, and it's built for Wisconsin's future. Visit AlliantEnergy.com/community growth to learn more.
Now this news update on Wisconsin Radio Network, I'm Ted Ahlen. Wisconsin launches a plan to eliminate viral hepatitis, a statewide effort by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services to eliminate hepatitis A, B, and C by 2030. Will expand testing, vaccinations, and treatment, especially for those most at risk. About 47,000 Wisconsinites are living with chronic hepatitis C. Discussion over a proposed data center in Wisconsin Rapids has slowed after city officials and developers agreed to postpone permit talks back in mid-April. Mayor Matt Zacher says residents can expect multiple public hearings and some sessions without developers so the city can focus on its own review process. And ATV and UTV riders need to get certified before hitting the trails. Anyone 12 or older born after January 1, 1988 must complete a Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources approved safety course and carry proof while riding on public trails and some private lands. More info can be found on the DNR's website.
The Columbus Family Dental Mystery Player is back for the 2026 baseball season. Listen to Milwaukee Baseball every Sunday on 95.3 WBEV, and we'll announce who the mystery player of the game is. Then the following business day at 8:15 during the WBEV Morning Show, if you're the correct caller who can identify the mystery player, you'll win a pair of tickets to see a game in Milwaukee. It's the Columbus Family Dental Mystery Baseball Player of the Game, all season long on 95.3 WBEV.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Some evidence has been tossed out in the case of accused CEO killer Luigi Mangione. The items seized from his backpack during his arrest at a Pennsylvania McDonald's will not be allowed in the trial. However, the alleged weapon and writings that were seized later will be admitted as evidence. President Trump has filed the paperwork to withdraw his $10 billion lawsuit against the IRS over the leak of his tax returns.
It doesn't lay out any explanation or next steps, but sources tell ABC News the president and his administration intend to announce a settlement, creating a $1.7 billion fund to pay out claims to those who allege they were unfairly targeted by the Biden administration. Democrats have expressed outrage over the prospect of taxpayer money being handed out to rioters who desecrated the Capitol on January 6th.
That's ABC National correspondent Stephen Portnoy in Washington. Congo's health minister announcing the opening of three Ebola treatment centers as a rare variant that has no known therapeutics or vaccine strikes the region. This is ABC News.
Breaking news. You need a new mattress. For all kinds of breaking news, stick with your trusted source, 95.3 WBEV, powered by Daily Dodge, broadcasting in the Slumberland Furniture Studio.
Slight chance of thunderstorms today. Otherwise, cloudy skies with a few peaks of sun. High temperatures reach up to 81. Winds out of the south, 10 to 15 miles per hour. Chance of thunderstorms tonight. Lows level off around 62. Cloudy skies expected. Chance for storms tomorrow. High temperatures reach up to 74. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki on 95.3 WBEV, powered by Daily Dodge. Right now, it's 70 degrees.
Hey, hey, it's Stacy with Slumberland, Beaver Dam and Watertown. Our Memorial Day sale is going strong and you can save big with our doorbusters. Now, doorbusters are super special. You got to come into the store to get these amazing savings. They're while supplies last, so shop local and hurry in. Save big with this amazing reclining sofa as little as $682 and get the matching rocker recliner completely free of charge. Or this amazing huge sectional with free ottoman. Now the sectional is only $992 and you get the matching ottoman completely free of charge. Now our doorbusters are while supplies last, so you'll definitely want to hurry in and save big. Check out our recliner chairs for as little as $199 or Lazy Boy rocker recliner chairs for as little as $299 and take advantage of our interest-free financing. Stop in, shop local, and save big during our Memorial Day sale going strong with all of our doorbusters. Stacy with Slumberland, Beaver Dam, and Watertown.
Ready to make a splash and make a difference? Join Kalahari Resorts for Family and Friends Night September 25th and 26th, where your getaway helps support the Good Karma Brand's John Moser Children's Radiothon. Enjoy America's largest indoor water park, arcade fun, and unforgettable family time, all close to home. Rooms start at just $179 and include two queen beds, water park passes for up to four, and no additional resort fee.
Hurry, rooms are limited. Offer expires August 25th.
Book now and turn your next weekend into a family adventure that gives back.
Saving money on your next project right now at Menards. Increase your home's value with a new Ideal garage door. From traditional to modern, Menards has a garage door to enhance your home's appearance. Choose from our large in-stock selection or design your own using our free garage door design program. Save big on Ideal garage doors. And don't forget to check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Hear what's going on in your community. Stay tuned to Community Comment on 95.3 WBEV, powered by Daily Dodge, presented by Professional Floor Covering.
It's 10:35 at WBEV. Community Comment continues, brought to you by Professional Floor Covering. Choose from many types, styles, and brands of flooring for carpet, hardwood, laminate, LVP, tile, stone, area rugs. Randy and his team will come out to measure, provide suggestions on type of flooring at price points to meet your budget. Now back to the Daily Dodge TV studio and Community Comment. Once again, here is Terry Bell.
Thank you so much, Jeff, and welcome back, everybody. Our guest today on Community Comment is Beaver Dam Mayor Bobby Mark. We're talking about a lot of things going on around the city that affect us. So if you have a question or a comment, now is a great time. This is sort of like a live office hours on the radio. You can call us or text us at 920-887-9595. You can also call the WBEV studio line at 885-4446. We were talking about presentations coming up. And one thing that is also under discussion by the council is rules and procedures. And this has generated a fair amount of interest. But tell us what's happening with that.
Yeah, this is actually happening not with the entire city council at this point. It's happening with our administrative
committee
okay, which meets the hour before our regular council meeting in the first floor meeting room. If people are interested, the public is welcome to attend. We're in the process of updating all of our city policies. And policies, you know, they're not like laws that we have to follow, but they're procedures that we, you know, have decided are, you know, best practices, good to do, and then we put them in writing so that we always, you know, have them available. And what we found is that we have a lot of practices, especially related to our meetings, where we've just always done what we've always done. We've done things, you know, we traditionally have done this or that, but we don't have anything written down. So now we're attempting to maybe start putting some of those rules into writing. And as part of that process, our city administrator just went around and got some suggestions from other communities about how they run their city council meetings. There is a short list of requirements that the state of Wisconsin has for all city council meetings. And of course, we've always followed those. But then there's other things that are optional or that cities have some leeway in how they run things. And I know one of the things that's generated a lot of comment is our public comment section at the beginning of our meetings. Traditionally, we've always had them. And to be honest, traditionally, very few people came. The vast majority of council meetings that I've been to, no one would show up to comment. Occasionally, we'd get one or two people to comment. And then, of course, with some of the more recent hot-button issues, we've had packed houses and lots of people commenting. So just because of the change, we've talked about, well, we've always just had this open public comment period where, you know, no specific rules. Do we need to implement some specific rules? And so now that's being debated. I know one of the suggestions that came from one or two council members might be interested in this is limiting comments to only people that reside in the city of Beaver Dam. I personally am not in favor of that because I feel like there's a lot we can learn from people who, you know, just because they're not a city resident doesn't mean they might not have something of value for the council to hear.
And there are decisions that the council makes that affects people beyond the city limits.
Exactly. Exactly. So that's a rule that's currently being discussed. I'm not sure how far it will get. Another one is just even the practice of having public comment at every meeting. Many common councils do not. They only will have a public comment period, if they feel there's something that maybe in the future is coming up and they want to gather information about. But we are, by law, we do have to have public hearings about ordinances that come up when the ordinance comes up. So we do have actual public hearings. A public hearing is actually a legal designation for this required period that the city council must give citizens to comment on a law that is being discussed at the council level. So most ordinances are read once or twice, and usually at the second reading, we will have a public hearing and where anybody can come and speak just about that law. So there's always that opportunity for public hearing. In addition, a lot of our issues, for example, if they go before the Plan Commission holds public hearings. Other bodies of our commissions and boards, the public is able to weigh in before it gets to the council level. So there are other opportunities other than this informal, just public comment section that we've just kind of gotten into the habit of having. So that's what's being discussed now, is should we continue to have it? In many locations, they have it, but they limit it to 10 minutes. Or 15 minutes. In most locations, they limit the amount of time any one individual can speak. In some places, they actually randomly, if people sign up and there's not enough time, if they're only doing 10 minutes, then they'll randomly choose who gets to speak so that, one group or individual can't dominate the discussion. So there's all different kinds of ways to run a public comment portion of it. And I should also say, in many places they have it at the end, that after all the official business is done, then the council is free to hear from citizens about other things, because the one thing citizens aren't supposed to do is they're not supposed to comment on things that are on the agenda, because that's what the actual public hearings are for.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, very interesting stuff, and it's being discussed at our administrative committee. And they may choose to do nothing and just leave everything unwritten as the way it is now, or they may decide to put some policy rules into place.
So, yeah, so what the city is doing and has been doing is not a matter of what's in statute, but what has just been tradition.
Yep.
So it's up for discussion. I mean, on the one hand, I can understand the need for limits. On the other hand, I can understand why people feel strongly they want to participate in their democracy.
Yeah.
So it's trying to find a strike a balance, I'm guessing.
Yeah. And my personal opinion, in the statute, it says that the presiding officer has the right, the flexibility to set the agenda and the items and run the meeting. And as the presiding officer, I just feel like I enjoy having the flexibility to sit down. Okay, this particular council meeting, we have, 15 things on the agenda that we have to get through, things that have deadlines and timelines and we need to finish. So maybe on this particular night we won't have public comments because we just really don't have time. This agenda, maybe it's really short, and so hey, let's allow them to speak. This agenda, it's kind of a medium amount. Maybe we shall limit it to 15 minutes. I would prefer just to have the flexibility, because there are some evenings when the council, I think, is in a better position to welcome lots of public comments. And then there are other meetings where we have a lot of work that has to get done, and it's just hard to to get that work done and listen to a whole bunch of public comments. So I would prefer to have less actually in writing and leave it up to the presiding officer to, based on the circumstances of the meeting. Okay. But that's, I don't get to vote on that one. That's okay. That's the administrative committee. So.
And that's I'm glad you mentioned it. That is happening at the committee level at this point. That's the right. discussion tonight, I believe. It was on 2 weeks ago, but
they didn't
they
get
ran
to
out
it.
Of time. Yep. In fact, that's maybe, I don't know if we have time to talk about the day, but a proposal for a possibility of study into a possible sports complex as a possible tourism and economic development draw.
Yeah, that was the last thing the administrative committee got to 2 weeks ago, is just should the city pay, and it'll cost some money, pay an outside firm to do a feasibility study. Several different groups and individuals have come to the city over the years with ideas about developing more athletic-based tourism, providing facilities and opportunities for tournaments and things like that. The city, just to be clear, the city is not interested in building any kind of complex or facility or anything of that nature. The question is, as part of our economic development plan, do we want to offer incentives to companies that do that kind of thing? They would be privately run companies that, you know, focus on athletic tourism, tournaments, things like that.
It's a big business. Boy, anybody with 2, 3, 4 kids will tell you.
Yeah, yeah. And then, of course, not only do you need a sports complex, whether it's an outdoor sports complex for soccer fields or, you know, pickleball courts or indoor sport complexes, but then, of course, hotels. Perhaps if we're going to look at sports tourism and some company is willing to put some money into facilities, then maybe we also need to bring in a new hotel to, you know, and restaurants, things like that. So all we're looking at now is just should the city pay for a study which would look at whether this would be profitable for a city in our size and our location. Because right. that's the key, is some big cities make billions of dollars with their sports tourism, but they're really big cities that have big stadiums and, you know, multiple complexes and things like that. The question is a community of our size and in our location, are we situated where that would be something even worth pursuing? So that's what the study would do. It's a market feasibility study.
Very good. One other thing we should probably get to, too, is I know you came prepared to talk about the Eagles View housing developments.
Yeah, I'm excited. We finally get to, I think this will be our final vote. We've had some preliminary votes in council on this housing development. Eagles View is a subdivision on the southeast corner of the city. It's off of Judson Drive. Marsh Trail is the main road into the subdivision. And then there are two other smaller roads in that subdivision. Those were built in two phases starting, I'm not even sure, maybe in the 90s, early 2000s, that they started with the very first houses on Judson. Now where they're finally finishing the subdivision, the phase three, and it's going to involve one cul-de-sac, which will run parallel to Marsh Trail and Foxview. There'll be another cul-de-sac that goes in that'll have 16 single-family homes. The entire area is not quite 7 acres, like 6 2/3 acres, and there will be 16 single-family lots.
Any idea what the price point might be for those houses?
Well, the developer is a group called Next Generation Construction, so we're grateful that they want to partner with the city, and I believe...
Maybe I shouldn't make you guess on live radio.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Sorry,
I don't want to commit, but
okay. Yeah. That's fine. Wait, and then we do need to take though one last break, so we'll do that right here. You're listening to Community Comment on 95.3 WBEV, powered by Daily Dodge.
Join WBEV and Daily Dodge TV this Memorial Day as we welcome summer and remember those who have made the ultimate sacrifice. On 95.3 WBEV, we begin at 5 a.m. with Jerry Stewart's program, A Lifetime of Service, followed by ABC's Press Play at 6 a.m. and a special rebroadcast of Jerry Stewart's program at 10 a.m. Daily Dodge TV has you covered from Oakwood Cemetery with the annual Beaver Dam Memorial Day ceremony at 10:15. Memorial Day on 95.3 WBEV and Daily Dodge TV is presented by Hometown Glass and Improvement and Gina Omig, State Farm.
Timeout!
All right! Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Good Karma Brands is proud to be an equal opportunity employer, providing equal employment, development, and advancement opportunities to all teammates and applicants. To learn more about careers with us, please send an email to talentacquisition@goodkarmabrands.com. That's talentacquisition@goodkarmabrands.com.
Step into something delicious. Quick Trip's Heartland Ice Cream. It's the newest scoop in our Nature's Touch ice cream family, crafted to delight and surprise. Grab a pint for just $3.99 and let the sweetness sweep you away. Try Waffle Whirl, creamy vanilla ice cream, chocolatey dipped waffle cone pieces, and a rich caramel ribbon swirling through every bite. And that's just one of 12 enchanting flavors waiting to be discovered. Heartland Ice Cream by Nature's Touch. One scoop closer to magic. Exclusively at Quick Trip.
They keep you informed on the Dodge County landscape. We keep the inside of your home looking great. Professional Floor Covering welcomes you to the next segment of Community Comment on 95.3 WBEV, powered by Daily Dodge.
And it is 10 minutes before 11 o'clock at WBEV. Time for our final segment of Community Comment. Back to the Daily Dodge TV studio and Terry Bell.
Thank you very much, Jeff, and welcome back to Community Comment, everybody. Our guest today is Beaver Dam Mayor Bobby Mark. We still have a few minutes. If you would like to weigh in with a question or a comment, you can call us or text us at 920-887-9595. You can also call the WBEV studio line at 885-4446. Boy, summer is right around the corner, and there is a lot going on in Beaver Dam this summer.
There is so many fun things and places to go. First, I just want to remind everybody, they just had an add-on. I want to repeat the message of not forgetting about our Memorial Day ceremony to honor our veterans. That's, as always, on Monday, 10:15 sharp, I was told.
Okay.
That there will be speakers, mm-hmm. there will be music, hopefully a flyover if the weather cooperates. Bring a lawn chair. It's usually a really nice ceremony, starting at 10:15 at Oakwood Cemetery. And then our City Recreation Department has been very busy planning for the summer. Thursday, June 4th is our annual summer kickoff from 4 to 6 in Swan City Park. There'll be WBEV will be there with a brat fry. It's all located around the splash pad. There'll be entertainment, crafts, games, face painting. The animal ambassadors from Marsh Haven will be there. So lots of fun for kids, all free to the families on June 4th. From 4 to 6 in Swan Park. Don't forget our Concerts in the Park series every Wednesday from 7 to 8:30, kicking off on June 10th with the ever-popular Eric Diamond. And also our Jam by the Dam series, which is from 6 to 9, one Friday a month, starting on June 26th with Frank Childress and the Main Street Band, and that starts at 6 o'clock. And we can't forget the Cyple Center. The Cyple Center has their summer concerts in the garden. Again, bring your lawn chairs and sit outside in their beautiful lawn. And those are Tuesdays at 6:30, starting on June 9th with our own Elwood Lee. So lots of free music happening all summer long. Next up, we should not take for granted our wonderful 6th annual Wisconsin Arts and Peonies Festival, which runs, actually starts Thursday the 11th with their Picnic in the Peonies event, that where you have a catered affair in the Peonies Gardens, and then it runs from Friday the 12th through the 14th. In addition to all the things they've had in the past, obviously the Ovens Peony Farms has their tours and all of their activities directly related to peonies out on their farm. They're adding the Jung Peony Gardens from Randolph, the Jung Garden Center. They're opening their peony fields for public viewing and tours, and there'll be classes and food and activities in that location as well. And then, of course, downtown we have all kinds of peony-related activities going on. There's an art market, local food trucks. They've added a chalk art competition.
Oh, fun.
Yeah, sponsored by Trinity United Methodist. It's going to take place on the Riverwalk, which is between the river and the Peony Garden. And there will be up to 20, I don't know how many people have signed up, but up to 20 artists will be there creating their chalk art. And then there will be some judging.
Oh, I'll bet you that'll be really interesting.
Yeah, I think it's going to be fun. Then there's the yarn bombing, which we've had for the past couple years. So when you see fences and benches and lampposts sprouting blossoms, you'll know why. It's not your imagination. Our local knitters and crocheters are enjoying helping decorate the city and bringing pops of color everywhere. One of the things new with that group is they're have a new initiative this year. It's called Caboose in Bloom, which they're going to, their goal is to cover one full side of the historic caboose in a stunning patchwork made from approximately 2,600 knit or crocheted squares. So community members are invited to help create those squares. So if you go on their website for the Arts and Peonies Festival, there's more information for individuals who are interested in helping with that effort. They should be working on them now as we speak with their knitting needles and crochet hooks. The Nancy Zeman Sewing Studio and Quilt Shop will be having, they're sponsoring the Great Wisconsin Quilt Show, which is hosted by PBS, with a free quilt show and bed turning in connection with the Dodge County Center for the Arts. Again, we'll have a tile painting event, a community tile painting event with artist Stephen Bennett, who's working on a portrait of Olympic silver medalist Bob Rompuy. So people can get involved there. Art on the Town will be having a variety of peony and nature-inspired classes designed for all ages and skill levels, including a live pottery wheel demonstration at the art market on Saturday. And don't forget the Dodge County Historical Society. On Friday, they have their annual Ghost Story Festival. And then on Saturday, they have their lawn party. One thing about the Ghost Story Festival, if you've ever been, it's such a fun event. Bring your lawn chair or your blanket, sit on the grass. But for the second year in a row, they're having a special guest, a gentleman by the name of Chad Lewis, who is a researcher, author, and lecturer who specializes in unique and bizarre stories about ghosts from around the world. Ooh. And he has lots of paranormal tales he will share.
Okay.
And then on Saturday is the Dodge County Historical Society's annual lawn party, which again has live music, root beer floats, antique cars, a horse cart racing demonstration, psychic readings, caboose tours, and this year they're celebrating Eli the Mammoth's 16,371st birthday.
That's right.
With games and prizes. Can't miss that. And then, of course, they have their walking tour at 1 o'clock for those interested. So fantastic. The Historical Society is really busy.
Yeah.
And on Saturday, the Beaver Dam Community Library, as part of the Peony Festival, is hosting their annual Peony Tea Party. And this year it has a 250th anniversary theme, open to all ages and abilities. Dress up and join them for a 250th anniversary inspired tea party with peony tea, sweet treats, and colonial flair.
My gosh.
At the new library, which, by the way, is open.
That's today, isn't it?
Yeah, soft opening. Mm. So, yeah. By the way, I should mention our Peony Festival sponsors, Horicon Bank, Jung Garden Center, Summer Automotive, Power Sports Company, and Meta all have contributed to help make the Peony Festival a success. So really exciting. And then, of course, on Sunday is the annual Arts and Crafts in the Park. That's that weekend as well on Sunday.
Very good.
So we don't want to forget that.
No.
On Saturday, June 20th, is the 19th annual Taste of Wisconsin. So you beer and cheese lovers, come on down to the parking lot downtown. Get your fill. Vera's continuing to look for volunteers. So if you like to pour beer or cut cheese,
there we go.
Come on down or sign up on the Chamber of Commerce website.
Sure thing.
New this year, on Thursday, July 9th, we are having a BD, Beaver Dam Celebrates 250. It's a celebration and commemoration of our country's anniversary. That's going to be in Swan Park from 4 to 8. And the new and improved, or at least the revived Beaver Fest, will be following on the 10th and 11th. That Friday and Saturday, complete with beer and music and games and water skiing and boat regattas and pontoon rides and all of the things we, and fireworks. Can't forget the fireworks on Friday night.
No excuse to be bored this summer.
Yeah, that's for sure.
A lot going on. Well, Bobby Mark, our time is up, but we appreciate you coming by as we always do. Thanks for joining us on Community Comment.
Always a pleasure.
And thank you for listening to 95.3 WBEV, powered by Daily Dodge.